Gosh, did you all just love this episode? I hope you're enjoying each of these podcasts as much as I am. If you are, please go subscribe to the podcast and spread the word by sharing your thoughts on Instagram. If you are not already aware, I'm pretty much obsessed with Instagram, so seriously, come find me. Instagram is the place where I'm going to announce every new podcast episode. I also share new products as I post them into my store. And I also am just going to be oversharing way too much about my personal life as a DIY landlord and a working boss mom. Thanks so much for listening. Hey guys, sorry for the interruption, but I really wanted to come on here and talk to you about the management program that I use to manage my real estate properties. And it is called Avail. If you have not heard me talk about it, I'm extremely obsessed with it because it is like Cozy on steroids. So I do all of my tenant screening through there. I can do background checks, I can do criminal checks, I can do eviction record reports. You can have the tenants pay for their own background checks. And you can also push your advertisement for your properties out on various platforms. And once you get it listed, people can apply. You can add custom questions to your pre-screen. And then once they're in, you know, the system and you've chosen your tenant, they can do all their rent collection through there. They can put their security deposits in. They can show proof of insurance. And my absolute favorite part, which is really hard to find, is it is a one-stop shop because I can do all of my lease forms electronically. Goodbye paper. This is my favorite thing, especially as a real estate investor that has aspirations to be a passive investor. I want it all to be able to be handled on my phone, and I can do that with Avail, which is awesome. So if you want to check it out, I highly recommend pop over to Instagram, go in my bio, click on the link, and right at the top, you're going to see my favorite, you know, landlord software right at the top called Avail. Please go check it out.
So if you were, I guess, a starting investor, so okay, let's say a new investor calls you. I don't know if this works with what you had kind of prepared, but a new investor calls you and says, David, I bought a property. Now what? Let's go from that perspective.
Okay.
Because I've been there.
Right. So take it from someone who you buy a property and you plan on managing it yourself, which if you are into financial independence, saving any penny you can is important. Yeah. And saving on the property management is quite a bit, especially when it's your first property.
Right.
That's quite a bit of money going out of your pocket. And if you have time, you might as well utilize your time and save that money.
And unless so for people that don't know, like in Chattanooga area, what are like property manager rates? Do you know what it goes?
Yeah. So they're about, if you have just one property, they're going to tell you about 10% plus they're going to take half of your first month's rent when they fill it.
Yep.
Plus, they're going to add on top of every maintenance call, they'll add about 10 or 15% on top for doing the maintenance call. So there's a lot of other extra things. Plus, they'll charge you if they have to do an eviction. Plus, they'll charge you if they have to market the property. So there's a lot of things that they add on. They say it's 10 or 8%, but really it's always more than that.
Yeah, because I looked into property manager around here and it was about 10% also, but there seemed like a lot of layers of cost of like marketing the property and getting that first tenant placed. And then if things went south, like obviously that's additional charges. And then if they need to, you know, I guess it depended how long the screening process went. And I always wondered how much like big companies really have your best interest in mind. So for someone like me who only has a couple of houses, I'm with you. I would self-manage the first few. So
yeah, that's a good perspective to come at. Yeah, at least to get the experience so you know if that property manager is doing a good job. Because you're right, they're collecting management fee, I mean, application fees when they list the property, but they keep that money.
Yeah.
So it's not like you get any money when it's empty, but they still do. Anyways, there's a lot of things about property management company, but we're not going to talk about that.
Yeah.
We're talking about what you need to do.
Yes. Okay.
But so the first thing you
need
to do.
We're firing the property management companies to begin with and saying what you need to do.
Exactly.
Sorry, property managers.
You don't have to be perfect and you don't have to be a professional, but you do have to treat it professionally. Mm-hmm. Like treat it like it's serious, like it's a business.
Mm-hmm.
But you don't necessarily have to get everything exactly 100% right. Mm-hmm. So the place I would start is understanding the laws in your state.
Yeah,
you need to understand your eviction laws, your tenant laws, your housing practice laws in your state and in, also in your particular city. Sometimes there's restrictions. And like learn that first, like Google, how do I stop my landlord from evicting me and put your state in?
Yeah.
And then see from that side, okay, what are all the tools that tenants are going to use that they're not going to get evicted. They're going to say, oh, you didn't give me the notice, or your landlord did this. Oh, you have this defense, this defense, this defense. Like, look up all the defenses.
Yeah.
And just know not to make those mistakes. That's a good place to start.
Right.
And if you're like me, I kind of geek out on the law. So I actually go and find the law and I read the whole law myself because I like to understand it.
Yeah.
But I still use a lawyer, but I still like to understand it.
Mm-hmm.
And just to make sure I don't make any mistakes.
Did you use a lawyer from the beginning?
No, I don't. I didn't my own in the beginning. And then I found a lawyer and it's only $250 and it's well worth the time.
There. So I think that's a reasonable amount that someone brand new and starting out could kind of start, because there's so many different ways you can also discriminate when choosing tenants, which we might hit in a bit, but just knowing what your laws are. I mean, there's so many laws and regulations about like lead-based paint disclosures and like you should have a fire extinguisher in there. And like, how many smoke alarms do you have? Do you have a CO? Are they in the proper spots? Just like little like basic safety things in addition to
how much notice you have to give someone, when can you change rent, like, you know, like all sorts of things. You need to understand that, and having an understanding of that will help you put aside some of the fears, because you'll understand it. Just people just don't take the time to actually research it, and then all of a sudden they have an eviction to do and they don't know what to do.
Right. And having a lease that you can read and make sure that, you know, it's covering all your bases legally is important. Because so I had this moment. So we have three different properties. I guess one's a duplex, but anyway. And so the first two were in Indiana. So I'm like, okay, got my Indiana forms. I had this whole system down. And then for some reason, we were so busy renovating the third property that I spaced it's in a different state. And of course, they have different regulations. And so cue me like feverishly Googling, you know, does Michigan have different regulations than Indiana? Because every state is so different. And they totally did. Like, they required a lot more forms than Indiana does, and a lot of like move in, move out checklists and all this stuff. And so you're kind of scrambling, but there's so many good places on the internet you can go to read. But again, like knowing your state and realizing if you're like on the border of a state, you might have a few different leases going on too, is something.
That's right. And I'm on the border between Georgia and Tennessee. So I just bought 24 units in Georgia. I already had some, but I'm like, okay, I need to really, you know, look at my Georgia law, see how it's different than my Tennessee law. And there's some differences. You just have to pay attention to it.
Mm-hmm. And it's not like it's hard to achieve. It's just, if you don't know, you're just going to like keep doing like what worked in Indiana and Michigan, when really, you know, I could, if I had a lawyer, I guess that was savvy enough against me, they would realize like you didn't do a move in, move out checklist. Like, you're not gonna be able to collect damages, all this stuff. And there were certain like time windows.
Or here's a big gotcha that you might not realize. If you give, a lot of states require a certain number of days notice. So in my area in Tennessee, it's 14 days.
Mm-hmm.
However, the tenants, you can put in the lease that the tenant waives that right. And I put that in all my leases. So really, I don't have to give any days. I still give 14 days, but I'm not required to, right? But the thing is, in a lot of instances, well, in Tennessee particularly, if you give notice and then you accept payment after you've given notice, even if it's partial payment, that can nullify your notice. Like, that's a big thing to watch out for in your state. It could be something like that. So there's a lot of things that can be gotchas you need to look up ahead of time.
Yes, that's a very good one. So learn your laws, very important. It's amazing what you can learn from the internet, but you have to go and look for and it and read it.
And don't ask me what the law is in your state. Just look it up yourself.
Yeah, it's good for you. It's good for you to Google and take some, I guess, I'm going to say initiative, but that's not
responsibility.
Like ownership of your own process.
Right. Then the second thing I'd like to do, if you know you're just starting out, you want to understand who your tenants are even before you purchase the property. So when you went and saw the property, if you met the tenants, you talked to the tenants, talk to the seller, ask him, how is this tenant? What's this tenant like? Do they pay on time? Do they not pay on time? Mm-hmm. And they'll say, oh yeah, they were a really good tenant. They paid all the time. I never had any issues for him. Or, oh, that tenant's always behind. I always have to walk and collect the rents. And I went and bought a property once where he told me, oh yeah, she's always late and you have to go down there and knock on her door and collect the rents. And I said, nope, I'm never doing that. I'm going to break that bad habit right now. And that's another thing, is you need to set expectations with the new tenants. Like, that's when you have the opportunity, is when you take over and you give your letter of introduction, say, hey, I'm the new landlord. This is how you reach me. You put all your contact. Then you ask them for all their contact details and you set out some guidelines. This is how you pay rent. If you're late, according to your lease, this is the penalty. You know, if you're going to require them to sign a new lease, like if their lease is up, here's my new lease. You got to sign this, and you go through those terms. You have to put those expectations up front to break them of bad habits right away. If not, then they'll just continue with the bad habit. So that tenant who you had to go down and collect rent from, I never did. I made her start mailing it in, just like all my other tenants. And she started to. Yes, she paid late and she paid a bunch of late fees.
Yeah.
And I almost had to kick her out, but I didn't. But still, I knew that's the type of tenant she was going to be. But I also made the decision, I'm not going to go there and collect rent because that's just a waste of time.
And I think a lot of people are very afraid to inherit tenants. So I'm glad you pointed that out and kind of talked about. I think I pulled my original, once you inherit tenants form, your introductory letter off of BiggerPockets. They have some, just like some sample letters that you can send people, and kind of tweaked it to be my own. And then did like a little pretty sheet in Microsoft Word that was like, here's like your two options to pay me. And went down in person and kind of walked them through how things were going to go. So
exactly. That's what you need to do.
And crush their dreams and said rent was going up.
Yeah. And oftentimes, but that's the window to do it also. I don't necessarily, I introduce myself and then I do a separate rent increase after. I don't put it all in one blow. Like I introduce myself and then if there's any issues, I fix the issues really quick. And then I'm like, and rent's going up.
Now that we're fixed and we're good to go. Yeah. We did the original introductory meeting and kind of walked through and saw what their complaints were and what they liked and didn't like, and kind of went from there. But it's a good expectation setting too on what people need or don't need. So I think that kind of sets the tone. Like, I'm not going to change out your light fixtures, but we'll make sure that your smoke detectors are not from the 80s.
That's another thing. You have to set those expectations. You're not going to be the landlord that gets walked over for every single thing, but you are going to be responsible and responsive for when it's the major things that need to be taken care of. Because you'd be surprised how some landlords just ignore the property and the tenants get used to it and they pay really low rent, but they get used that the landlord's not fixing anything. And you come in and they'll be like, oh yeah, my refrigerator hasn't worked. I literally been to one guy's place. His refrigerator hadn't worked for like 6 months.
Oh gosh. And I don't know how you live without a fridge that doesn't work, to be honest. I mean, that's a first world problem, but wow.
Yeah, he was a single guy, but that fridge, literally, we just like taped it up and took it out of there and threw it away. Like didn't even open it because it was just that nasty. And I put a new one in there. But like things like that, okay. Like I'm responsible for the fridge. I'm going to take care of it. The AC, I'm going to take care of it. So that's
we've also really found out random information from tenants who are living in the properties about houses. Like, I don't know if you've ever found that in the inspection period. If you kind of go meet them before you close, you can learn all the secrets about like the landlords and the property. And they're like, oh yeah, our water's brown. And
When I go to see, like if I'm going to do an inspection and the landlord's not there, but I get to meet the tenants.
Oh yeah.
That's the best.
That is the
best.
Because
then you can really talk.
They will tell you all the things. Because we were buying our duplex and the management company tried to say this was what rent was at. And the tenants told our inspector, like, no, this is actually what we're paying. And it was significantly less. Wow. And so we were able to like negotiate that. And they wouldn't like share their, it was so sketchy. They wouldn't share their rent agreements or anything. And so.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. It was really scary. But the property was in such disrepair. We went and made some major, like minor repairs and kind of got them on our own lease forms. They're on month to month rentals.
Yeah.
And it's a scary situation when you walk in, and the tenants were super nice, but they're like, oh yeah, we're not even paying close to that number. We're like $100 less or like $200 less.
Super shady of that seller.
It was so shady.
One thing that you can do if you have a seller who's not sharing the leases, like I like to look at the rent roll and then a copy of the lease, and then I compare them. But if you can't get the lease, or even if you do, you can get what's called, you can ask for a lease estoppel, which is essentially the tenant signs and says, this is how much I'm paying in rent.
Yeah. Which is exactly what I was going to say we were going to do. I was going to see if you had done that. I couldn't, for some reason, spacing on the term. Exactly. So the estoppel agreements are a thing you can do to make sure you verify rent, because they refuse to share the leases with us. And so that's what we had to end up doing since they claimed it was proprietary. I'm like, there can't be anything that secretive about your lease form. This is ridiculous.
Crazy. And those estoppels in like commercial properties, that's like very, very common. Like it's even written into the lease that you're required to provide those estoppels if they're asked for. But so I haven't actually had to use it in my like residential stuff, but I would if I needed to. But oftentimes if I'm going into a place like that, that's that bad. I know I'm just going to do whatever. I'm like, okay, I don't really care what the leases are, but that will affect the purchase price. So I want to find out, make sure the price is right.
That's interesting. I didn't know they were mostly used in commercial. That makes sense now because, yeah. It's interesting. It's hard to find smaller landlords that have done them before.
If you're going to do your accounting, I've noticed, you know, some people do QuickBooks or whatever, but it's not really good for multifamily because you can't break things back down by unit. It just doesn't really make sense. It's kind of cumbersome. It's like for a business, but not for real estate. Mm-hmm. So that's why I use my property manager. But before that, I just had a sheet for every property. And I know the guys at Stealthy Rich, they just do that still. And you can even buy their sheet, I think, if you wanted to.
You can.
But the cool thing and what you want to do is you want to have like different expense categories. You want to say like maintenance and then repairs. And then if it's a capital expenditure, you want to have a separate one for capital expenditure. And a capital expenditure is anything that adds to the value of the property and is normally, you know, at least over $500 or $1,000, whatever. Mm-hmm. But something that's going to last at least 10 years normally. Mm-hmm. So a new roof, a new hot water heater, a new AC, those are all things that are capital expenditures. And then those are taxed differently. And your accountant will look at the end of the year.
Yes.
So you want to keep that separate.
All I know is my accountant really wants those separated. And again, it's like, does it have like longevity with value? Like if I put in floors, I'm going to have use out of these floors. If I come in and clean it, no, like that's a one and done kind of thing. So you have all different categories.
So you want to keep those two categories different. Your accountant will thank you. Also, you might think, oh, my mortgage payment is just a mortgage payment. It's one expense. No, you need to break it out between interest and principal.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Because it's both an expense to you, but your principal payment doesn't count as an expense to the IRS.
Mm-hmm.
Because it's going towards your equity. You're not actually moving that money. You're just moving that money from one account to another. You're not losing it.
Mm-hmm.
So very important that you break out how much is for principal and how much is interest. And that will be right on your statement. And you should have an amortization schedule as well.
Are you using Buildium right now for your properties? Or using app? Okay.
Buildium. I haven't gone to AppFolio. It's a lot more expensive.
Yes, it is.
And I know the big players use it, but I'm not sure it's... I've heard it's... Buildium's really easy to use.
Yeah.
And I've heard AppFolio is not. It does have some aspects that I kind of like, for example, if someone moves out and owes a balance, you can click a button and it'll send it to collections.
Oh, I have heard of that. That does sound pretty nice. Everyone wants an easy button.
Okay, that is cool. But then I was looking at everything else. You have to pay extra and pay this. And I'm like,
I looked at Buildium. So last December, I went through my little panic moment of, I have a property in Michigan now and I need to keep all this like bookkeeping separate for all my properties. And I tried out Buildium. I tried out QuickBooks, the online version, which turns out I learned it's terrible. So people recommend if you're doing real estate and you want to do QuickBooks, you have to do the desktop version. I guess it has more functionality for real estate, but that drove me nuts because I'm just trying to do it on my phone. So I went back to Google Sheets. Uh-huh. So essentially Excel, but Buildium was by far like the better choice. I just feel like I'm too small right now to justify the cost of it.
The cost, yeah.
But it took me significantly less time to learn Buildium than it did the online version of QuickBooks, which seems ridiculous. So again, there's a few other softwares out there I eventually will try, but so far those are kind of the big ones I've heard people use. So
yeah. It seems like all the bigger players, the big property managers, they use AppFolio, but it costs something like, I think it's like a minimum of $600 just to get started, like your sign up.
Mm-hmm.
It's pretty steep.
And there's way too many manuals. I'm like, there has to be something I can self-teach myself. And then I spent like days and days doing this and I'm like, I could have had Excel done by now, but eventually I'll need to scale and have better systems and do that. But Buildium's a really good choice. Yeah.
If you're just starting out on your first property, an Excel spreadsheet will be fine.
And I'm working this week because I've had a million people ask me on my basic Excel spreadsheet.
Oh, good.
So I'm going to hopefully put that out there this week.
Perfect.
It's on my to-do list. So hopefully by the time this airs, I'll have an Excel sheet that someone can steal that matches like what my tax person likes to see, which will be what everyone's tax person likes to see because the tax code is, you know, roughly I forget the name of the form. My accountant would be so ashamed. But anyway, there's a form that has a specific schedule and it lists out things like your cleaning costs are separate, your insurance, your principal, like it gives you a list of how you need to categorize things. And so it's all broken out like that. So I'll have that out. My goal, I will have that out before this airs. So then you all can look that up.
Oh, man, so, because that'll help. Get so much value out of this.
Yes. Yeah. That's what we're trying to do because we know I wish I would have had David's advice because I would have done rent levies. That's kind of awesome. So I guess this is like how to manage in COVID too, in a way, is just doing, reducing right. the touch points and just making mm-hmm. it easy for people to screen. So.
Exactly. All right. So we talked about the things that you need. I already talked about the welcome letter and raising rents. If you're going to raise rents, it's good to do it. Not necessarily right away, but within the first month or two. Mm-hmm. Oftentimes people ask you, hey, are you raising rents? My answer is, yeah, I'm not sure how much yet. I'll let you yep. know.
That's a good answer. Do you always raise rents yearly?
I try to always raise rents at least a little bit every year mm-hmm. so that people get used to the rents are always going up because inflation's always going up.
Exactly.
But this year, because of COVID, I kind of felt bad for everybody. So I haven't raised rents on people.
Okay.
Since COVID happened, I haven't raised any rents. Yep. You know, when new people come in, I raise rents, but on any mm-hmm. of my current tenants, I haven't raised rents.
You're not doing raises this year. Are you going to raise freeze until 2021? Is that kind of your plan?
Essentially.
Yeah. Essentially. I think I'm in the same boat because I opened with all of our tenants, all three of them or whatever, four of them I've had so far. But anyway, I always open with, you know, expenses go up every year. So every year, just expect a small raise. It's not going to be yeah. a crazy amount, but we think we price our properties really well. We run market values. And so it'll be just a little increase every year and just, that's how we do business. And so they know before they sign the lease forms, that's how we do things.
Right.
So then I hope there's no surprises. Then I send them like a nice letter and like a yeah. gift card or something for renewing or something like that, just to kind of keep it fun.
And if you're buying a property and you want to raise rents, I always like to give people two options because you know, you don't want to just kick someone out right away. Like, okay, right. you're paying $500. Now you have to pay $700. You can't pay $700. Sorry. You have to move out in 30 days.
Yeah.
That's kind of a tough like situation right. for people to be in.
Yeah.
So what I like to do is, okay, rents are going up now to $700 if you sign a year lease or $750 if you go month to month. So you mm-hmm. can stay as long as you want month to month, but it's a little bit more expensive.
Yeah.
But then you have the option to go look for something else. And what often happens is people are like, okay, I'll do month to month. So they do mm-hmm. $750 month to month. They look around, they can't find anything for the same price anywhere else. And they're like, hey, can I do that year lease now? I'm like, okay, yeah, that's fine.
Yep.
I'll let you do the year lease. Or some people will just stay on month to month and just keep paying the higher amount. But it's good to give them an option of whether they're going to go month to month for a little bit higher mm-hmm. or a year lease for a little bit of a discount.
I really like that idea because I think that's nice to give them options because then they feel like they have choices. You're not.
Yeah.
Yeah. It kind of gives them a little more skin in the game versus just telling them, hey, your rent, your price is up. You're like, your price is up, but you have two choices of what works for you. So.
And I understand that you might not be able to stay, you might have to move, and I'm sorry, but mm-hmm. you know, I'm trying to, my expenses are different than the previous landlord, obviously.
Right.
So it's going to happen. So that's why it's good to raise it in the beginning when you need to. And also get those repair requests like you were talking about, like find out what they want done. If it's reasonable, do it. If it's not reasonable, tell them that's not your responsibility. Mm-hmm. Get them to sign that lease. And I don't know about every state, obviously you have to make sure, but in my state, it doesn't say who's required to do the pest control. And mm-hmm. even in duplexes, actually in all my leases, I say the tenant is responsible for pest control.
Mm-hmm.
Now in apartment complexes, I still do monthly pest control because it can get out of hand really quick if you don't.
Yeah.
But on my duplexes or my others, my duplexes, even apartment complex. So if there's a real issue and they're like, oh, it's so bad, da, 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 I can't do this. The pest control is not working. I say, well, technically pest control is your responsibility.
Mm-hmm.
You're not keeping a clean place. That's your responsibility. I was just doing it as a favor. I was doing the pest control, but really pest control is your responsibility. So even if someone in a duplex, if they call me like, oh, there's ants. Hey, pest control is your responsibility.
Mm-hmm.
As a favor, if I really like you or if you've been a good tenant, as a favor, I'll get my pest control guy out there and then we'll split the cost. So you don't necessarily have to be the bad guy all the time,
mm-hmm.
but I like to put in my lease that they're responsible for pest control, even if I'm going to be providing a monthly pest control, like if it's in an apartment complex.
Yeah, that's so interesting. I'm taking notes as we walk through because that's a good one to add in there. I honestly don't know what my lease says about pest control, which is a terrible answer, but you know, you kind of read it a year ago when I placed everybody and then you kind of forget what all is in there. So
I
periodically
evolves.
Revisit it and
you
update
should be
things.
Evolving your lease. Yeah,
like yeah.
As you learn, as you read, as you buy another property and you read that lease and you're like, oh, that's an interesting point. I'm going to add mm-hmm. that to my lease. And like, just keep adding mm-hmm. as you go along. It doesn't have to be perfect right off the bat.
And you can search the internet for all kinds of interesting lease terms. There's lots of interesting people have very strong opinions on like appliances too in leases.
Yeah.
I'm not sure what you do with that, but I don't think we dove into that really because a lot of people like will or won't supply appliances, or they'll even say like the tenant is liable if an appliance breaks because they'll be like, oh, it came with the house. So, you know, that's on you if you need a new stove or oven or fridge, which that makes me feel sad a little bit, but I don't know. I get the strategy though. So I think the stealthy rich put that into most of their leases. They don't replace appliances while the tenant is still there.
Yeah.
So it's interesting.
And like that can work. I don't know how I feel about like for if my place is sometimes my places, they'll have like washer and dryers from like the previous tenant or whatever. Mm-hmm. So if it's a washer and dryer, I say, hey, it's coming with it. I do the same thing. It's coming with it, but I'm not repairing it. If it breaks,
right,
it's your problem. Mm-hmm. And they kind of get that. I could do that with any of the appliances that I wanted. I mean, I could,
right,
but I don't because like, you know, you need a stove and refrigerator to live. And if they don't have one of those, how are they going to be living?
Unless you're that bachelor that survived without a fridge for 6 months, which still blows my mind.
Right. But it's fine if it's in the lease. And when you list it and you tell people it doesn't come with a refrigerator or a stove, okay, fine. You know, that's fine. You know, just put it in the lease. There's nothing wrong with that. I mean, a lot of people save money by doing that.
Mm-hmm. Do you supply fridges for your units? It kind of depends on geography, I think, because around here, everyone tends to do that. And so, but depending on where you're at, I see a lot of people that fridges don't come standard in rentals, that people traditionally buy their own fridges, which is crazy. It seems like it's a geography dependent thing.
Yeah, I guess.
Yeah.
I guess. No, I do. And I haven't bought any properties that didn't have fridges and stoves in them. So I don't think it's that common here because I haven't seen any other landlords who are like, oh yeah, maybe one or two tenants, oh, that's their stove. Because every once in a while, someone will say, hey, I want to put my own fridge in. Mm-hmm. Okay, fine. I want to put my own stove in. Okay, that's fine. I'll take it out, but you'll be responsible after that. I'm not moving it back in and forth if yours breaks, you know?
Right.
So everyone, I'll run into like one or two like that, but no like, oh yeah, we just didn't supply fridges and stoves.
Right. What ways do you let your tenants collect rent too? I was going to ask you that.
What ways?
So, yeah. Do you do all online rent collection or do you allow them to pay in a different way?
So I allow them to either mail me a check or a money order to my P.O. box, P.O. box that they can mail it to. And then here's a tip for that. If you guys have a P.O. box, which is nice if you set up a P.O. box kind of so people don't know where you live necessarily. They could look up the tax records probably and find if they really wanted to.
Or see like where your LLC is registered. That's
right. Like they could probably find it if they were that hard looking, but they wouldn't just know right off the bat. So if you have a P.O. box, you can sign up for, what is it called now? If you go to the United States Postal Service, Informed Delivery.
Yes.
It's called Informed Delivery, and it will send you a picture of everything that goes into your P.O. box. So it's so useful. I don't have to go to the P.O. box every day to check if something's there. I can just see when it comes in. I see a picture of it. It comes to my email. Oh, there's something in my P.O. box. I'll go pick it up. Oh, do I want to pick that up? No, I don't need to. I'll pick it up when something else comes in.
I don't know why this has never dawned on me because my P.O. box, I never, like I'm really bad at checking it because I just don't have that many tenants and they all pay online. But that reminds me, like I should totally go do that because I have Informed Delivery on my personal mail, but I've never set it up for the P.O. box and that 1,000% makes more sense because obviously I check my own mailbox every day.
Right.
But my P.O. box, I don't. And that'd be perfect because I don't care if there's weird magazines there, but if it's something important, I need to know about that.
And on top of that, as you get bigger, I don't delete any of those emails. So if someone, like if I got a payment, like, well, if I misplaced a payment or if they said they sent it in and I'm like, there's some like doubt, like, did that come in? When did that come in? I just look back in my emails and I can look at all the date that stuff came in and I can see all the images and I can see, wait, no, that check came in on that day. It didn't come in on that day.
That's awesome.
So it's like documentation of proof when it came into my mailbox.
That's really good. Yeah.
Yeah. So Informed Delivery.
Informed Delivery. So now I have two agenda items for the day. Hopefully everyone else will also have agenda items. Informed Delivery and Rently is on my list now.
So the other thing you want to have is before things go wrong, try to get a list of a couple of major contractors. So I would recommend an HVAC person, you know, heating and air. Because if a tenant's AC goes out in the summer, you're going to hear about it right away and they want it fixed right away, even if it's the middle of the night on Sunday. They're like, no, we need someone out here now. Don't worry. They'll be there in the morning. And what I
broke
is,
my own furnace today, it was on Sunday when it first broke. And I'm like, I am my own terrible landlord right now.
Right. I need to get it fixed now.
But it's just me doing it to myself. So
so what do you got to do? But yeah, so I like to, you might want to look in advance. Okay. A couple of heat and air people, maybe call them, ask them what their hourly is. Do they do emergency calls? You know, just to have some people so that when the problem arrives, you know, talk to other investors in your area, see who they use. Just so when the problem arrives, you have someone to talk to.
I'm trying to think if someone's brand new and doesn't know maybe investors in their area. I'm trying to think ways. I found people off of Facebook Marketplace before. So trying to think where else. Oh, and like some home improvement stores stock lists of people that do work. Yeah. So like we have Menards in our area. I don't know if that's something that's down there, but they keep lists of like local contractors' business cards. And so I went to Menards and like picked up all the sheets. So I also had lists of people.
That's
so I'm trying to think of other hacks because I didn't know many investors locally. And so I just started like phoning friends and asking people. And then I went really creepy and like looked on Airbnb and like found people who had local listings, like local, just like mom and pop, like Airbnb people, and was like, hey, like I'm a fellow local business owner. And I was hoping to like, I really need a, you know, electrician. Would you recommend anyone? Like, I'd love to see your place, take you out to coffee, just like hear about your business. And so that's how I like tried to start finding real estate investors. Mm-hmm. So
that's brilliant.
I guess that's like kind of creepy, but in a way it's like networking. So my goals of 2020 in the beginning were work on networking. And so I just started taking out to coffee local like Airbnb people. And so I have a couple people now that I know that I could ask if I need an electrician or a plumber or something like that.
And, and here's that's great. Cause you're going to want an electrician. You're going to want a heating air guy. You're going to want a plumber who does calls. And you're going to want a handyman who can just do the basic stuff. Now, you might be handy yourself and you might be able to do things yourself, and that's great. But even if you're not handy, at least go and see how things are done so you can troubleshoot things in the future. Because you don't want to call a plumber just because the toilet handle's broken.
Right.
Because now you just spent $100 to fix a $5 issue that you could fix yourself with no tools. It literally just screws on with your hand. You take it out and you put another one in. I mean, it's that simple. Mm-hmm. So you kind of want to know what are the simple fixes and what are the expensive things. What do you need to call an expensive person for? Mm-hmm. You know,
lots about HVAC. Same thing. Like a filter is like $3. Filter. So you can go buy an air filter and then you won't freeze your own furnace and air conditioning unit or my condenser coil, something like that. But again, like learning what common symptoms are. So we knew there was water on the floor for a week or two before we actually had the freezing problem. But now if I had that issue, I'd be like, okay, step one, look at the air filter. But if I wasn't there when we're like looking at the furnace and kind of getting in there, I wouldn't know these things. And so again, like it's so important to be at your home inspections because they will teach you stuff.
Right.
Find a home inspector that teaches you about properties and mechanicals and that kind of thing. Go to those and make sure you're learning about your properties in the beginning so you know who to call. Because otherwise, you're like, do I need a plumber, an electrician? Like, I don't know. I have all the problems with something leaking. There's water coming out, but I think
it's a lot of problem solving. And problem solving, you don't need to be handy to do. You just need to have critical thinking. So I think anyone, if they put their mind to it, they can start like just paying attention and problem solving stuff. And the thing is, tenants, they don't want to do any problem solving themselves. They're like, it's broken.
Yeah. Fix this. It's not my problem.
Does it do this? There's a huge leak. Okay. Yeah. Is it a leak under pressure or is it a leak only when you use the water? Because if it's a leak when you only use the water, it's not an emergency. I don't have to call a plumber in the middle of the night.
Right.
If it's a leak because there's water spraying out, then it's an emergency. So these are things you're going to want to talk your tenants through as well, or go see it yourself before you call a professional, because some things are really emergencies, but sometimes they're just an emergency in the tenant's mind. Like a sink that leaks while they use it. Okay, don't use that sink tonight and we'll get someone out there tomorrow.
Right.
Versus there's water just coming out of the wall. I don't know. And the water just coming. Okay, yeah, maybe we need to take care of that.
That's an emergency situation.
Exactly. Yeah.
So I guess learning to troubleshoot yourself and then also for your tenants when they're living there. Very important. I didn't know a toilet handle was so easy to replace also. So that's good.
Oh, it's so
I've just never had one break. But I'm like, toilets are pretty easy. I've fixed like the plunger things before in there.
The flapper?
Yeah, the flapper.
Yeah, that's a common
hand issue. Gestures are lost in podcasts. There's lots of hand gestures happening.
But that's a very common issue. Like the flapper, the toilet will leak at the flapper, and it's a really, really easy fix. You just buy a universal one and pop out that one and put that one in, as long as there's like two sizes. So make sure you get the right size. But it's such an easy fix. But that's a big complaint for people. Hey, my toilet's always running. My toilet's always running. My water bill's going really high. Oh, now I have to send a plumber out there? No, you can just go out there and see, oh, it's just a flapper. Boom, $5 2-minute fix. Mm-hmm. Also, no tools needed. Like,
yeah, I mean, that one's super easy. I can handle that. So
you can do also the toilet handle. It's also very, very easy. So that's kind of like the top thing. And then next I had, okay, how are you going to do your process, like your accounting, your, that sort of managing stuff, right? So there's a couple of things that I use when I first started. Like right now I use a property management software, but you don't necessarily need to do that if you don't want to pay that expense up front. As you get bigger, I do recommend you transfer over because there's a lot of advantages. But at first, all I started was with Excel spreadsheets and Cozy.co.
Yep.
And Cozy you can use to accept payments online for free. It's free for you. It's free for the tenant. So it's a great way to accept payments. You can also do listings and you can do background checks through them as well. So if you don't have some way to do background checks, you can use Cozy, and they'll also do listing syndication where they'll send out your listing to a couple different websites as well, like apartments.com and some other places.
I don't think they do Zillow anymore since Zillow is kind of trying to run their own show at the moment.
Zillow has upset me so bad. I mean, just
it's upset so many people. You can have a soapbox moment on Zillow because so many people are angry about it.
It makes no sense because it's so expensive. It's like $7 a week. Like, why is it so expensive? One. And two, they called me, right? Because I'm not a big deal, but I'm on the radar of stuff. You know, I have apartment complexes.
David is kind of a big deal.
not at all. If you haven't shared my last, that's probably weird for people who didn't listen to the last show.
Yeah, go back and listen to his last show. He has a good amount of units, streets of duplexes. Yeah, it's very important.
I have over 130 units. Under, what am I? Anyway,
you have significantly more experience than me. So this is why we're doing this deep dive together.
But when they called me and they were like, oh yeah, no, it's just this, this, this. I was like, yeah, but it should be free. All these other places are free. Why would I pay for that? And why is it so expensive? And they're like, well, most of the property managers don't have a problem with it. They're just adding it to the bill. I was like, yeah, because they're property managers. They don't own it.
Yeah.
I own my stuff. So I care how much I pay.
Right. Like I am the property management. Like that is what, because you're like, trying to build your own kind of property management company-ish, right? Is kind of
In a way, just for my own stuff.
Yep.
But like what I'm saying is a property manager doesn't care to pass that cost along to the owners.
Exactly.
But I care because I'm also the owner.
Right.
So I don't want to pass that cost along to me. And there's plenty of free ways.
Or tell your wife about it. I don't know who you then report to if you're the owner. Hey, honey, we have more expenses now.
but there's plenty of free ways. So Cozy.co, great place. Rently, I think
that one's new to me. Yeah,
Rently is really cool because you can actually, it can schedule showings for you.
Oh, very cool.
And people can call it to get information, and it also syndicates listing. And if you go to the 2.0 version or whatever, it's completely free. And they syndicate listings better, in my opinion, than Cozy does. They send it out to more websites and everything like that, but not Zillow, because Zillow has
Zillow's a monopoly. Yeah. Rently is still, Rently is brand new to me. Do they do like payments or anything, or they're just focusing on getting properties rented? So they don't have like
it's,
that
it's
size.
It's mostly like a showing service.
Very cool.
So it's more showing service related. What they want you to do is have like a lockbox, and then they'll you pay them every month, and then they'll automatically do showings for you, and you won't have to be hands-on at all or anything like that. That's the, like their goal, but you don't have to use it that far. There is a free version of it. And I use the free version.
That's awesome. So I just put on my house hack in the basement, I just put a new doorknob with a keypad. So I'm wondering if I could kind of pair that together and do like self showings.
You could. You could because people.
Because eventually it's going to be sealed off completely, like walled off from my primary unit upstairs. Right. And so it would literally just be like a shell of a unit that they could walk through. So I might have to check that out. I've learned something new from you today. I'm so excited for this talk.
You can plug in how many like like when you're free or when you want people to come, and they can only set appointments for that time. Or you can even have it, I don't do it, but you can have it sync to your Google Calendar and it will automatically let them see it if you're free. That doesn't work for me, because just because I'm free doesn't mean I want to show something.
Exactly. That's accurate.
Oh, but anyway.
So very cool. Yeah. And then, I started using, so kind of like Cozy, I also use Avail. I don't know if you've ever done that, but they do, I was trying to figure out a way to do leases electronically. Uh-huh. And so they have that layer. It's kind of like Cozy, a little less user-friendly, but they have, it's like all DocuSign type things, but it's all in the same platform and it's free. So that's, I don't have to pay for that aspect, and I can do my electronic leases. And I think I ended up doing like an upgraded plan just because they had a little extra functionality with how many units you have. Mm-hmm. But it was easier than having multiple platforms to like DocuSign things or try to figure out some kind of way to do electronic signatures. That's all in one place. And so usually people have never heard of it because I had never heard of it. So me and David have two new things, Avail.co also, and then Rently. Apparently we'll check both of those out because again, it's kind of, you know, between Rently and having your showings, and then if you did Avail for your electronic leases, you would like literally never have to see a person. If you they can kind of walk them through everything. So
exactly. And my property management software, it has electronic leases, and that's one thing I like. It's all in, you know, all in one. So that's awesome that there's a free electronic leasing thing. Yeah.
Avail. You can't have very many units with Avail to do the electronic leases, but otherwise it ends up being paid, but it's still not nearly as costly as like your big property management software platforms out there, which I'm guessing is kind of where your level is. So if you're like looking for like a Cozy but not a Buildium, it's a really great hybrid of having the electronic parts in there too, but a better price point. So definitely. So HVAC guy would be important. We said plumber, electrician,
a plumber, and a handyman.
Yeah.
For just something. So
then if you're not available too, because what if you're out of town and you need a flapper on your toilet, you need someone that's not really a high level certified person to kind of get out there and fix the basics and troubleshoot what's going on at your property.
Or maybe you know someone who's handy and just ask them, hey, will it be okay if I call you? I'll pay you, of course. You know, you want to pay your friends if they're doing work.
Right.
But I'll pay you to go take a look at it. You know, maybe your dad or an uncle or someone who's handy.
Yeah.
But pay them for their time. Don't make them do it for free.
I'm collecting, my girlfriends have handy husbands. So I'm like, hey, if I call you sometime to fix some tile work or, you know, do some plumbing issues, I'm kind of like learning what their skill sets are and I don't need to borrow. I'm like renting friends and family.
When I network with people, I like to find out what they do. Like I moved into a new neighborhood and I found one of my neighbors, he like is an insurance agent and he does like commercial real estate insurance. It's like, okay, great. When I have that, I'm going to give you a chance to give me a quote on that. It's like, it's a great thing to do. And then if you find someone who's a friend and they're like, oh yeah, I do that type of work, give them an opportunity to do it. It's just ask them what they do. And if it's something that you need, I always love using, I even use my tenants. Like, I was having a problem with the cleaning lady. And then one of my tenants, she's a hairdresser by trade, but she's like, oh yeah, I clean. I said, okay, I'll give you a shot.
Yeah.
Tell me how much to do this apartment. Oh, I'll do it for $150. All right, go ahead.
Yeah.
You did an amazing job. I'm like, okay, now when I need an apartment clean, I just call you and we take it off the rent. And it works.
Having some good cleaning people in your back pocket is also good if you're like trying to, you know, get out of a property fast. I've had like, it helps to kind of know people that can get in and out when you're like, hey, we're finally done painting. Can you come in the next like 40-hour period and get this thing knocked out because we're busy and I have a 1-year-old. So
I know. And
I don't know how you do it with your whole family. It's very impressive.
I don't clean the unit. I'll room sweep and stuff like that, but I'm not like, you don't want me cleaning. And anyways, but I've gone through, she's the fourth cleaning person that I've had. So I've gone through a lot. It's funny, but like, hey, they just weren't good enough.
I have one lady that does a really good job, but she's very busy. And then I have another lady that's very expensive, which kills me a little bit, but she does a really good job. So like keep her in my back pocket and I've totally used her a couple of times, but I'm like, her price kills me, but I know it will be spotless.
We talked about this as well was, how you're going to market it. We talked about Rently, and we talked about Zillow and Cozy, how you can use that. You can also use Facebook Marketplace to list your rentals. you will get a lot of responses there. Some of them will be garbage, but you'll get a lot of responses. You'll want to have a system. What I do is I list it. When someone replies, it doesn't matter what they reply. I have a copy and paste. Yes, it's available. Please go to my website, 3grentals.com, and apply, and then I'll schedule the showing. Like, it doesn't matter what they say. Like, that's the answer. Boom, 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 boom.
Do you know they have an automatic reply for everything now?
Really? Like, it will automatically send it?
Yes, it'll automatically send, like, hey, if you're interested in one of our properties, like, please go to this website or this form, and you can put in, like, whatever you want. So there's an autoresponder, which is, like, the best thing that's ever happened to me.
Because, it's on Facebook Messenger?
Yes. Yeah.
Man, I see,
check that out. It might be new. So, but yeah, we used that for our last property because I had like, I want to say we probably got to 200. I couldn't even count them anymore because you're like influxed with people and half of them are just clicking the, is this still available button? And they're really not interested. I'm like, that is like my least favorite button when you're, and at first you're trying to like manually do it or copy and paste and it's just taking so much of your time. And so I did the same thing. So I don't have a website for our company, but I did like a Google form. And I said, hey, if you're interested in this property at this address, it's the only one we have available right now. Go to this form and fill out our pre-screen.
Okay.
And so, yeah, that automator. So then you don't have to do.
You don't even have to do copy and paste. Like what I would do is I would let them like, I would let them like stack up until I had like 20 or 30 of them. And then I would just go through.
Like batch.
Control V, control no.
Autoresponder will be your new best friend because then you don't have to do that. You just like get it set up.
I haven't actually listed on Facebook Marketplace in a while, but maybe it wasn't there or maybe I didn't see it, but now I'm going to look for it. So
yes, because it's a good source of people. Like there's a few, it's just your ratio of people that are good. Like your sales funnel is really huge. Like you have like 100 people and you might get like 4 that are really qualified.
That's right.
So my ratio on there is not great, but it worked. So
I mean, yeah, you just get so much exposure from it. And then also you want to look like to know how much things are going to rent for an area. So you want to go and look at listings like on Facebook Marketplace. Yes. You want to look on Zillow and see what their listings are. Unfortunately, a lot of they're not so many people are listing on Zillow anymore because it costs now.
Right.
But and there's something called Rent-O-Meter.
Mm-hmm. That's a really good one.
Yeah, that's they try to want you to pay for it, but you can also use it for free. Mm-hmm. The thing you want to make sure though is if it's comparing apples to apples, because sometimes like a 2-bedroom apartment rents different than a 2-bedroom house.
Yep.
So, and a 2-bedroom apartment with a swimming pool and a gym rents different than a 2-bedroom duplex. Like, right. So you want to make sure.
Even in my market, a duplex rents differently than a single family home.
Yes, exactly.
So you just really want to keep an eye out. Like Rent-O-Meter doesn't work where I'm at because we're too rural, but.
Okay.
I hear other people love it, but always check it out. Like I think like Zestimates, like rentals are all like estimates are always just like garbage in my area. And Rent-O-Meter is like, we don't have enough data for you. So I have to keep my own comps lists.
Yeah.
So I don't know if you do the same thing or not. Keep your own. You probably know your market well enough.
I know my market. I kind of have a lot of units in throughout the market. So I just, when I get a new one, I just raise it up and see how it goes. And I'm like, okay, yeah, now I can get more. And I talk to other investors like, well, what are you getting? What are you getting? And
Do you aim for when you put your rents, do you aim for the top of the market, middle, lower end? Where do you kind of price yourself? Do you always like to push the edge or?
I do. There's two things. Sometimes if the apartment is good enough, sometimes I don't have to actually do any work to turn it.
Yeah.
So then I don't try to go for the top end. I'm like, okay, I want to do this as quick as possible.
Yeah.
So I already have a bunch of people who want something. So I call them, hey, do you want this? They say yes. I'm like, okay, perfect. This will be the price. And it's not the top, but it's higher than I was getting before. And they move in right away. I don't have to do any turn. And I save money on the turn. It's like, okay, fine.
Yep.
Now when it's a disaster and I have to go in and like redo everything and, you know, really make it nice, then I make it nice. And I'm like, okay, now I'm going to see, now I'm going to test what's the top of the market. Then I try to test the top of the market.
Mm-hmm.
But I like there's a, you know, there's an apartment for everybody. There's a house for everybody. If you're willing to let it sit, but I don't like things to sit for too long. So some people will be like, I'm going to get $1,000 a month. I don't care if it takes me 3 months to get someone in there.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. That's fine. If that's what you want to do, but I prefer, hey, I want to get someone in from my list. I don't want it to be listed for more than like 2 weeks.
Mm-hmm.
So like from listing to getting someone in there is like 2 weeks. So if it's,
if
I'm at a price that I'm not getting enough applications, then I'm too high. I know I have to drop it down. A little bit, but
When you do your listings, I was logistically trying to figure out this. Do you photograph it yourself? Do you have it photographed? What do you do for your
pictures? I take my own pictures.
Okay.
I just take pictures with my phone. And if you're doing homes, so if you have a nice home, it might be worth it, and you're trying to get more rent, it might be worth it to get a professional photographer. So on some of my single family, I have a photographer who owes me a favor because I basically helped him start his real estate career.
That's awesome. trading knowledge.
Exactly. I give him all the knowledge and the confidence, and he calls me when he has issues and I help him. Yeah. But so if I want to have a professional photographer, I can. So on a big house that's going to rent from like $2,000 a month, then yeah, I'll get some nice pictures so that it really sells it. But for the rentals for a working class person at $850 a month,
yep,
the cell phone pictures are fine.
Okay.
And now here is a tip. You want to have a nice exterior picture, mm-hmm, and you want your first picture to be the exterior. I don't know why, but I'm
going to say, why is this? Tell me about it. Yeah.
I'm telling you, it makes a difference. Like, I've tried, like, okay, do I take a picture of the inside? Do I take the best room or whatever? No, people want to see the outside picture first, and it has to look nice. So take it, mm-hmm, in good light, take it, you know, make sure there's not trash around or whatever, like get your car out of the frame or whatever. The outside picture, that first outside picture is so important to get people to click on it.
Mm-hmm. Makes you want to, like, make someone want to, like, drive by the area or see
exactly
where it is.
And
yeah.
Oh yeah, that looks nice. And then an inside picture, they're like, oh, where is that? I don't know. Like, they can't visualize it. I'm not sure. I've tried. Like, I've tried different pictures, and the one from the outside
is the way to go. Perfect. Guaranteed. Do you have a formula for how you do your listings too? Like, your little write-ups? Do you say, like, one bedroom? Like, do you start with a number bed and bath? Do you have, like,
that's
you're gonna love this gorgeous house?
I'm not the most creative. Like, always call it spacious. It doesn't matter how big it or small it is, it's always spacious.
Always spacious.
And it's always in a convenient location. It's always minutes from the mall or minutes from Amazon or wherever.
Gotcha.
Big employees. So it's always minutes from somewhere, because it's true. If it's 50 minutes, it's still minutes.
It's still minutes.
It's always minutes from somewhere. It's always convenient. It's always spacious. And any other particulars of that property. And then I include in my listing my qualifications, like what I require. Mm-hmm. And that's kind of the next thing I wanted to talk about, is like how you screen tenants.
Yes. That's a huge one. So
yeah, it's very, very important, screening your tenants.
Oh, while we're still on this subject, have you ever listed a property with a realtor? That was on my...
For rent?
Yes.
No.
Okay. Because I know, like, the stealthy rich are realtors, so they can just, like, list it on the MLS. But I'm like, in my market, I've never really seen people do that.
But they're still paying. You know, when they do that, they're still paying the other realtor to bring them a tenant.
Yeah.
It's fine. Like, obviously, they got what's working for them.
Yeah, they have a magical model that I will not question. But it's just a very interesting perspective, as I like to see other people and kind of what they're doing. Because I think we're working towards a similar system, I feel like. And I'm like, I just don't know if I want to cut in a realtor on whatever I'm doing.
Why give up a month's rent?
Yeah.
Like, why? So I listed a house. So Volkswagen is a big employee in our area.
Yes.
And I listed a nice house for like $2,000 a month. And a realtor who was representing people from Volkswagen Finding Places called me, and they wanted to see the property. And I said, oh yeah, sure, that's fine. They're like, well, you willing to work with a realtor? I was like, yeah, well, how much are you, what you charging? You know, and it's a nicer house. Sometimes it's harder to find tenants.
Right.
There's not as big of a pool.
Right.
And then she's like, 1 month's rent? I said, just to bring someone? She's like, yeah. I was like, well, no, I wouldn't do 1 month's rent. Well, how about half month's rent? Nope. And she hung up. I was like, she would not do it for less than 1 month's rent. If I was a realtor, she would have taken half month's rent. But just because I wasn't a realtor, she thought she was entitled to the full 1 month.
Oh, wow.
I'm like,
no,
wow. Well, I thought that poor Volkswagen client is going to miss out on a bunch of nice houses if that's how their agent is.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And at what point do you post listings? Because I'm trying to figure this out for my own project, because I'm like, we're still like tearing this house apart and putting it back together. So I'm like, it's hard because everyone's like, have you listed it yet? I'm like, I mean, I have thought about putting out feelers, but you don't know what to do. And I feel like this is such a dilemma, because you don't want it to sit very long, but you obviously like want good photographs. And if people are new, you have to understand that humans are not creative individuals. And so like, I walk into a house and I can just like see things.
Mm-hmm.
people cannot see things. And I've walked people through a property when it was still like under construction, and it was like my biggest mistake I've ever made. So yes. I will never do that again. So if you're very new, don't do that.
I do not like showing a property unless it's ready. I never, ever show a property when it's occupied. I don't care. Like if someone's in there, I'm not showing it. I'm not disturbing that person. And I don't want those two people to interact. Because maybe that person moving out doesn't like me for some reason, and they're going to spoil the other person.
Right.
Or the other person will be like, oh, I don't like that these people once lived here. No, I never, ever show it while it's occupied. And I try to, sometimes I might like pre-list it without pictures and just put it on my website, but not really push it out there. And if people call me, I say, hey, I have this coming up. Like that happens a lot. Like the stuff I feel really quick, even before I finish it, is because people are calling me and begging me for places because of my networking and tenants tell them, hey,
you're just like call the networking master. That's my life goal right now.
But it's true. I get at least 4 or 5 phone calls a day of people asking me if I have a place.
Yeah.
That's awesome. Without any listings. So, but as far as if I was going to lift a place, I like to wait. Now, if I have some pictures from before, and I know it's going to be in pretty similar condition when the person moves out, then I might list it like before they move out and say, hey, you can't come see it. But most people want to see it right away and they want to move in pretty quickly. Mm-hmm. So I don't think there's that much value in listing too far ahead. You know, maybe 2 weeks in advance. Okay. But further than that, it tends up being more work. And then you're just answering the phone calls and the questions, and then you just get upset about it. And you're like, forget about it.
Yeah. We were in like the remodeling process, and I had someone ask me if I could do a like a vent hood instead of a microwave. I'm like, I am too far deep into this conversation during the renovation process because I'm not having you make suggestions on how I renovate my property.
Yeah.
Are you paying the mortgage? I don't think yet.
Here's the thing. You want to have good tenants, but you don't want to have picky tenants. And some of those like high-end tenants that are really picky, it's just like, no, thank you.
This poor lady was probably really nice, but I'm like, you just put your nail in your own coffin. Like, I think we're going to take a little bit longer than you need. it's just a lot. You just knew it was getting way too picky. So between that and like paint color suggestions, I'm like, I don't know if this is going to work out.
No.
So don't put yourself in that boat. The answer is no. You're the property owner.
Exactly.
So once you have a property ready, walk me through your tenant screening process, because this is really, I think this is where this like makes or breaks your experience is properly screening property.
And this is what I do. Mm-hmm. And I don't know if you know Rick Jarman from Real Estate Old School.
I do.
Yes. It's so funny. Love His Rick. He's great. It's so
ironically, Rick was my first call today when my furnace was covered in ice. I'm like, Rick, you've done everything. Can you please tell me what the possible list of items could be that is wrong with my like furnace, HVAC, like whatever is icing over? And he's just wonderful. So I know Rick pretty well. He was my phone a friend to begin the day off today.
That is great. So it's ironic that we kind of have, without knowing or whatever, we have very similar tenant screening. When I listened to what he does, I was like, that's exactly what I do. So, but this is just what we do. It doesn't mean it's right or wrong.
Right.
I'm not saying this is the best thing ever, but
I don't know his process, honestly. I haven't watched his, I know he has a video on it, but I haven't watched it yet. So fill us in on.
So tenant screening. First of all, you need to have a process where you can check for evictions. Okay, whatever that is in your state, when you do your background check, you want to make sure it includes eviction checks. And a lot of states will have public records where you can just look it up yourself directly with the court records. At least in Tennessee, we have that. And I use that. I don't even just trust the background check. I get the background check that tells me, and then I look at the records, because sometimes it falls through on the background check. And then I pull up the records and I'm like, it really helps when tenants have unique names, because you know for sure that it's that right person. So evictions, if someone has an eviction, do not rent to them. You know, that might be harsh, but that is one of my no-goes. If you have an eviction, I don't rent to you, because when times got tough, you decided to become someone who needed to be evicted. You had other options. You could have moved out before that happened. It might have been tough on your life, but that's the route you decided to do. Right. And if you have tough times again in your life, you're going to fall back on that same thing, because you know the process. And you're going to stretch it out as long as possible.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
Other people who've never been evicted, they're more scared of an eviction because they don't know the process.
Right.
And they'll listen to you more like, hey, I'm going to evict you. Can you just move out? And they'll be like, okay, yeah, I don't want to be evicted and I'll just move out. Not realizing if they wanted to, they could postpone it for a month and a half and stay another month and a half. But in the end, it'll be worse because they'll have an eviction on their record.
Right.
So evictions, no go. Mm-hmm. Sorry. The second thing is landlord reference is really, really key. And you want to make sure you have at least 2 or 3 years of landlord reference. So if like mm-hmm. the previous landlord was only 1 year, you want to get the one before that. Sometimes it's difficult because people don't have landlord references because they're just moving out of their parents' house mm-hmm. Or they always lived with someone. So sometimes that's difficult to get, but landlord reference is really, really important. And if they say they've never lived somewhere, but then you see on the credit check that there's a utility bill that hasn't been paid, then you're like, okay, well, this address had a utility bill, so you must have had something in your name.
Mm-hmm.
Well, something's not adding up here.
That's very smart. I didn't think about that. Yeah.
Yeah. So, and also on the credit check, my credit check, at least it shows me addresses that have been lived at. Mm-hmm. So I can ask them about those addresses. Hey, you were at that address. Whose address is that? And then you can kind of verify. But a good landlord reference, if it's a real landlord reference, is really, really valuable. I can overlook a lot of credit issues if they have a real solid landlord reference. And what I do is I actually get the name of the landlord and the address, and then I look up on the tax records and see if the person owns the property. So am I calling the person that owns the property?
Yeah.
Now, sometimes it could be a property manager, so I'll call it and say, hey, so are you the owner or the property manager? If they say they're the owner, but they're not on the tax records, I say, oh, can you tell me who's on the tax record of the property? And they'll be like, okay, they're not the landlord.
Yep.
If I can't, I can normally tell when I'm talking to a landlord, because what normally happens is we're a landlord in Chattanooga and we start talking and then they're like, oh, so how many units do you have? Oh yeah. So what do you do? And da 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 da. Like we start hanging out.
Yep.
We start networking. Like I like
you
to
talk
do.
A similar language. Yeah,
exactly. So it's normally pretty easy to spot a fake landlord reference. And if someone gives me a fake landlord reference, that's it. They're done.
Yep.
I don't care the reason they did it. It doesn't matter. They're done for giving me a fake landlord reference. And it happens. It happens frequently.
Yep.
Then I look at the credit report. On the credit report, I am looking for what they have paid and how much they have to pay. Like, what are their responsibilities? Do they have a lot of things that are like 90 days, 60 days past due, or what they have in collections? Now, if it's medical bills and collections, don't care. Student loans not paid, don't care. I just really don't care about those two things. What I really care about is utilities. If they owed something to like an apartment complex, I won't rent to them because most apartment complexes will send stuff to collections. Mostly utilities and previous landlords such as apartment complexes. Those mm-hmm. are the big things I'm looking for. And also like a pattern. If you see like a huge pattern, if they never pay, okay, that's a bad sign. But it's
I was surprised as I was going through like the screening process, the number of people that are in these like debt consolidation programs, where part of this program is like letting all of these minor debts go into collections. And so like, if you're excluding people because they have like a couple credit card debt, like things from Victoria's Secret and collections or something, you're just, you know, that's kind of the point of these really crazy like credit consolidation, like debt programs, like debt relief is just a terrible program. And so I had a string of people doing these programs, then essentially they'd let all their debts go into default for 6 months and they would call all their creditors and negotiate a settlement and then pay it off for a lower price than what they started. But apparently there's some kind of like big debt relief program around the area we live in, because I had a bunch of people who say they've had a hard time getting rent because they like did these programs, but they've always paid their rent on time. They didn't have evictions and things. And so it was kind of an interesting process to see that they had some that were part of this like credit collection program. And I don't know if you've ever seen that before, but that was a weird experience.
Specifically, but that makes sense if that's what they're telling them to do.
Yeah. Huh. So it's like, it was the same company. I had a couple people apply that made it kind of far and they were in the same program. So it must be something in like Southern Michigan that uh-huh. people are doing. And like, stop doing these programs. Like, have you met Dave Ramsey? We should talk on the side.
Right, but... exactly. Yeah, no, I used that money, but I shouldn't have to pay it back.
Oh, my gosh. Yeah. I'm like, I know you bought it when you were in college and you were, you know, too much Chipotle, but you still paid the money.
Right. Exactly.
Let's it's clean that your up.
Responsibility.
But it just wrecks their credit score. Like, their credit scores were terrible, but, you know, they had paid everything else on time. So it was interesting looking at background checks, because I think a lot of people try to say that they just want a minimum credit score. And it's harder than that. It's looking into someone's like dirty laundry.
Yeah, because a score is just like a picture at that one point in time. Mm-hmm. I mean, and sometimes my score, because I buy a lot of properties and sometimes I'm putting on my name and whatever. And when my debt goes really high and they don't know what's going on, and like my credit score will drop like 100 points, like, and then it will be back up. So at the score is not necessarily telling you what you need. You need to look at the whole picture.
Yeah.
Now, in Buildium, the software, it actually gives a recommendation, which is kind of cool, because they say they use an algorithm that determines how likely the person is to pay rent. So it will say like accept, decline, conditional, low accept, or decline. So it gives you like kind of a grading on it, not based off of the score, but based off of how they're reading what they're paying and what they're not paying.
Interesting.
So it's kind of nice. And I do like to see the accept things. I kind of like, okay, if they have an accept, then that means, but I still look for all those other things, but mm-hmm. I've noticed it kind of lines up with what I look for anyways. If it says accept, normally they're not going to have utility bills and collections. They might have student loans or medical bills, but mm-hmm. the algorithm tells that, okay, it doesn't really matter for those debts. They're still probably going to pay their rent. But that's just a special thing there. One other thing that you don't want to rent to is someone who is currently in bankruptcy.
I didn't know that. I haven't had that situation come up yet. So
yeah. So if the bankruptcy has been discharged, that's not necessarily a bad thing. You know, people go through divorces or whatever, you end up in bankruptcy, or you had a hard time, you end up bankruptcy, but you did what you had to do, you paid what you're supposed to do, and it's been discharged, mm-hmm. it's over, that's fine. But if they're in bankruptcy, you don't want to rent to them, because if someone's in bankruptcy, you rent to them and then you have to evict them, you can't collect any debt on them because they're in bankruptcy.
Interesting. Yeah.
Makes sense. You're not allowed to. You're like legally not allowed to collect debt on who's in bankruptcy. So it's just useless.
Yeah.
So do not rent to people who are currently in bankrupty.
So an active bankruptcy, but former bankruptcies you'd work with are, if their overall
like
picture
if the is. If the other things are okay, like, you know, if they have a good landlord reference and they're not been evicted, but they have a bankruptcy like that's been discharged like 2 years ago. Yeah, I would rent to them. And then the other thing you want to check is their criminal history, mm-hmm. and see what's on the criminal, and how you decide that is kind of personal. I kind of drew the line at violent felonies.
Mm-hmm. Sounds reasonable.
Yeah. Well, you have to be careful. Like, actually, I don't know if it's been decided or not. They were going all the way to Supreme Court to determine whether it's legal to screen people based off of their criminal background.
Mm-hmm.
Like, because there was this big, like the biggest landlord in America was saying anyone, you know, they have all these apartment complexes and stuff, but mm-hmm. anyone who has a felony is automatically disqualified. And then they were saying, well, that's disproportionately affecting minorities, so you shouldn't be able to say that.
Mm-hmm.
So there's still debate on that, but I feel pretty safe on saying no violent felonies.
Right.
And also, if it's like pretty major, like if they were like manufacturing drugs, I mm-hmm. also don't do those, because I don't want them manufacturing drugs on my place. That's another big one. And obviously, sex offenders and pedophiles and stuff like that. I don't want them in my places either.
Right. Yeah. A little bit of a liability too.
Right. Exactly. But I really just say what I say on my listing is no violent felonies allowed.
So when you do your process, so on your website that you have, you somehow do like a pre-screen form? Does that sound or an application, or how do you do
that? They do an actual application, but it doesn't require them to do the credit and background check yet.
Mm-hmm.
I do that after they've seen the property. So I ask them the questions about like the eviction, the bankruptcy, da 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 da, and I have my application and I put them all into my system,
mm-hmm.
but I don't make them pay. The only thing I have to pay is when they do the credit and background check, and I don't make them pay until they've seen the unit, because I don't want to necessarily waste people's money if they don't really like it.
Right.
But I also don't want to show it to people who I know are not going to be qualified.
Right.
And I don't want to waste my time. So I make them do the application. Okay, they've done that step. They've shown that at least that serious. On the surface, it looks fine. I'll see how it really looks when I do the credit background check. One other thing that I look at is their income.
Mm-hmm.
So I prefer their income to be at least 3 times the rent.
Mm-hmm.
So if they're renting, you know, $1,000 a month, then their household income should be at least $3,000. And then I verify that by asking for the last 2 months' pay stubs from their employer. And that's important for 2 reasons. You make sure they really work where they say they work, and you see how much they make. And if you go to eviction and you need to garnish their wages, you already know where they work.
Yeah, it's very true.
Yeah.
And you do better at landlord references too. I was thinking about that you guys, you know, look back a couple landlords and you get better about doing that, because I haven't so far. And So far it hasn't bit me on my like end of two that I've placed myself and then I inherited 2 other ones. So far so good, but we live in a small area, so you kind of know all the like big employers and things, but definitely something I need to like check out, like employer wise, like verifying everything, verifying pay is what they say it is. And then the landlords, at least the second one back for people that are new.
Yeah.
The first one might just want to unload them and like, yeah, say like, oh, they're great. They're great. They should totally move into your place tomorrow because they're a pain.
Even in that instance, what I've noticed is, even if a landlord wants to get rid of someone, if I stay on the phone long enough and become friendly with them and talk with them, they're going to spill the beans.
Yeah.
So it's like, oh yeah, they're not. Yeah. Well, I really do want them to get out. I mean, actually, you know, they are actually a pain a little bit this, but you know, if you want to take a chance on them, you could. So they start.
Sure. They're a nice person.
They say, oh yeah, they're a good person, but I think they're just having a hard time right now.
Right.
And I get it. I've been in that situation.
Right. But it's all you're trying to run a business and you need to make sure you get paid for your property. And so again, it's like risk management in a way. So,
and when you call the landlords, you want to have some specific questions planned out already. Not just like, hey, I'm here for a landlord reference. What can you tell me about them?
Right.
Right. So you want to ask them specific questions. This is how I phrase it. Mm-hmm. How many times have they paid rent late?
Yeah.
I don't ask if they paid rent late or if they didn't.
Right.
Like, how many times have they paid rent late? Oh no, they've always paid on time. They haven't paid rent. Okay, that's good. Well, they've paid a couple of times, but they always paid their late fee. Mm-hmm. Well, they're basically late every month.
Yep.
Are they currently past? Do they currently owe money now? It's a good question. Did they give notice that they're moving out? Do you know what type of condition they've left the property in or what the property looks like? Did they have any pets in there? Mm-hmm. Because you might have a place that says no pet policy, or at least you charge extra for the pets. They might be applying and saying they don't have pets.
Right. Very important.
Very important. But it's important to have specific questions. How much was their rent? I get very cautious if someone is coming, let's say they were paying $600 a month in rent, and then my rent's going to be $900 a month.
Mm-hmm.
I'm very cautious, like, okay, they're used to paying $600. They think they can afford $900, but how are they going to really make that jump up? Did something change in their life that would allow them to make that jump?
Right. Very important. And I was going to say too, I don't think I like really develop these questions. That's a good idea about standardizing thing, because I've been asked before to be a reference for someone else and they had a standardized list of questions. So I think like almost having it ready as an email to look professional would be a good thing on my part too. So I need to develop list. Yeah.
And you need to have a form actually, because if you're trying to get a landlord reference from an apartment complex, they're not going to tell you over the phone. They're going to say, oh, send in where this person signed saying that I could disclose the information and the landlord reference form, and I'll fill it out and get it back to you.
Yep.
So you need to have a form ready.
Yes.
And you need
talking
to be
talking to me directly. No, I'm talking to everybody too. have a form ready, prepared.
To print out a copy of the person's application where they signed saying that they're releasing they're allowing you to talk to previous landlords and employers and stuff like that.
Sounds good. And then do you do all of your, so Buildium allows you to do everything electronic too. So after you've shown them the property, they've filled out the background check and you've like chosen the one, how do you go through that process? Because that was something weird to me when I was like, okay, I have my lease forms, I'm ready to go. And do you walk them through the property one more time? Do you do a key exchange? Do you walk them through like line item by line item with their lease? Do you just hand it to them? Kind of what's your process on like move-in day, or how do you work that?
So when I send the lease, so if they've been approved, like they saw the property, they did the credit and background check, I assume they want it. I say, hey, congratulations, you're approved. I'll be sending you an electronic lease to sign shortly. Look for it in your email. Then I type it up. I put, you know, it's all pre-filled. I just have to put their name and the property address and the amount, and I send it off to them. They sign it electronically. Well, they read it or they don't read it. I mean, that's their choice. They have all the opportunity to read it.
Yep.
And then it comes back to me. I sign it. I file it into my Buildium. And then I say, okay, great. I got this. Now I need your deposit to hold it. Mm-hmm. And then you can pay your first month's rent or your prorated rent at move-in. That's something you might not be familiar with. Listeners might not be familiar with prorated rent.
Yes, that's a good thing to find.
You want all your leases and your rent to be due on the first, because you're going to be building a business and you don't want rent coming in on the first and the 7th and the 12th and the 21st. Like, you want it all to come in on the first.
Yep.
So your lease should always start on the first. But if someone moves in on the 12th, then you just calculate how many days rent from the 12th to the 30th is. Mm-hmm. And that's what they pay when they move in. You can make them pay that and the next month rent if you want. But normally, if it's toward the beginning, I just make them pay that. If it's toward the very end, like it's only like 5 days, like if they move in on the 25th, then I make them pay that and the next month's rent when they move in. So prorated rent is just the number of days they're going to use it until they hit the next first. If they move in on the first, then you just don't have any prorated rent.
It's interesting you point this out, because Avail did that for me for my next tenant. So my most recent one I placed, they did like all of the proration calculation stuff themselves. And it was fantastic, because I'm like, I'm a numbers person with spreadsheets that I can like make do fun things, but I'm not like mentally, like for some reason, prorated rent is not an easy topic for my brain to get around. And so having that just easy in there, and then they got used to the rent collection software, because you could collect all your deposits and request a deposit for them and email them. And so I'm sure kind of what you're using is similar, but I liked that experience with a little bit different than Cozy. I feel like it was a little more sophisticated in doing the prorated rent and that kind of thing. And
I'm liking how Avail sounds. So everyone should check that out. Yeah, that's definitely, that's what I didn't, Cozy wasn't so sophisticated.
Yeah, because Cozy could not do the prorated rent, but Avail could figure that out, which I probably should talk about with people, because that was something that I'm like, I don't know how to do this, but I know she needs to move in mid-month. And and so you know, it's not that hard to run the calculation yourself, but it was just so nice to have it done for you. Yep. Because then I know I didn't mess it up, and everything looked very uniform, and and she could see like every payment going forward when everything was due, which was nice.
Exactly. So someone pays their deposit online, or they send it to me, or whatever they do. Now they've paid the deposit. Now they've held the property. Then they're going to move in. When they move in, they pay the prorated rent, which they can pay online, or they can bring money to the move-in, whatever they want to do. They can even, in my software, I can even have them pay cash at CVS.
That's awesome. Yeah. It's I've heard of that being a possibility. I forget the program now.
Pay Near Me.
Pay Near Me. Yes. Yeah.
It's built in with Buildium. So I love it. They go and they pay cash there, and it automatically goes to the lease ledger, and they get a receipt right then. And I'm like, oh.
It's one of my inherited tenants, her car broke down. And so we were trying to figure out like ways for her to get her rent collection. And so I looked into that. And then she was on house arrest. And then I just ended up like walking there, because I'm like, I inherited her. She just needed to finish out her house arrest. And so I'm like, I'll throw her a bone and like be that landlord for now. Got you, girl. Thanks for paying on time.
That's good.
And she's like holding a beer and she just got a DUI. I'm like, great, great news. At least you can't drive now, I guess.
So. Just stay at home.
Yeah. So she's like, I can't really get to the CVS. Like, even though it's walking distance, like I can't like logistically go there right now. I'm like, oh, I'll be right over.
Okay.
Yeah. Fun things you've done a time or two just to make it through and like limp through and kind of help her out until she was ready to get on her feet and get a move on. So
exactly. Oh, and then when we meet up at the property, then I do a walkthrough. I have it's called property inspector. Oh, it's called inspector. Happy inspector.
Happy. Oh, I've heard of this actually on a Bigger Happy Pockets Inspector. Episode. I've never looked into it, but it's been on my list.
Well, on my thing, it just says Inspector. When I open it up, it says Happy Inspector. Mm-hmm. The reason I don't really know is because it also comes with Buildium.
Yes. Yeah, that's part of the package. But I think you can use it separately. If you
can you use
want
it separately.
Mm-hmm.
And what it does is it creates a form for like, what does the wall look like? What the window? And then you can just rate it. Okay, good, clean. And then at the end, you both sign electronically and you save it. And then when you move out, you do it again, and then you can compare the two.
That's awesome.
It's
yeah.
an easy checklist. You can take pictures, like if there's a particular
damage. And I think
damage.
It's free with your package. I don't remember if it costs money if you're not a part of Buildium or not.
I think there is a fee to use it.
Yeah, I think it is.
I think there is a fee. For me, it is free with the Buildium. Well, I mean, I pay enough for Buildium.
Yeah. Should I put that on my tab, please? Thank you.
Like, I pay like $600 a month for Buildium.
Yeah.
But I mean, that's a lot of units. So it's really
not
that much.
You have a lot more units. So Buildium scales by how many units you have too. So
yeah, exactly. So it's not just that much to sign up.
Yeah.
But, yeah.
So Happy Inspector would be a good option if you're looking to do that electronically.
Right. If you want to do it electronically. Mm-hmm. And you can create any form, like this new apartment complex I purchased. It has water meters. It has a one main meter. And then it has separate water meters, but I have to like go and like measure
them
every month.
Mm-hmm.
So, but I just created this form and I sent it to my maintenance guy, and all he has to do is go by and take pictures of each one, and automatically will go in to the right spot.
Oh,
and then the next month
nice.
He'll just take pictures again, and I'll just be able to always compare it just like that.
That's awesome. Yeah, I know.
If he gets out of the hospital, then he'll be able to do it.
Yeah. Oh my God. You're poor handyman. Yeah. Hopefully he makes it out. You're going to be exhausted
so
for
bad.
A while.
He's the best guy too. His wife, like she called me. She's like, no, he's going to have to be in the hospital. He's so sorry that he's not going to be able to go do the work that he needs to do. I was like, no, it's fine. I'll go unclog the toilet.
Yeah. Got this, you know.
Just get better. Oh.
Yes. I think that's really good. I know with how I do things. So I do a move in, move out checklist, and I'm able to just upload the PDF into Avail and then have them like print it and sign it that way. So that's how I've been doing it. But it would be interesting to have an app version. So I might check that out and just see if that would help processes, but you can upload like any PDFs. Like I started uploading my lead-based paint disclosures on like properties that were, you know, like I just want to cover all my bases. I don't even know if I'm built in the decade. I need to double check that. So at some point my lawyer needs to review everything. I do have a real estate attorney, but you know, life gets really busy when,
exactly.
And I'm like, I only have two tenants. They're happy or good. You know, the properties look great and we're well maintained. So
and
you kind of,
here's also a key to when you renew leases, you don't necessarily have to have them sign a whole new lease.
Mm-hmm.
You can just have a lease renewal form. It could just be one page and say like everything within the lease remains the same, except the rent has gone up from this amount to this amount.
Yeah.
And it's a one page and they sign it.
Are there pros and cons at all of just doing like the single form, like lease renewal page? I don't think there's really a difference. You just say, we both sign this, the lease holds, and then there's
exactly.
any adjustments.
I mean, you're
we
still,
remain.
What in, now I don't speak for all states, but in a lot of states,
right.
and in Georgia and Tennessee, I can speak for those. When you have a lease, when it expires, it automatically becomes an at will or a month to month lease.
Mm-hmm.
And everything within that lease still remains, except it just goes month to month. The term is just month to month.
Mm-hmm.
So even if it expires, they're still month to month. And then you can even increase their rent month to month and not have to increase it for another year and just say, okay, but make sure they, if you increase the rent, technically you just have to give them a notice, but it's good for them to sign it and say, okay, everything in the lease remains the same. I'm month to month, but the amount is this. And so you have that. Because sometimes I just had a tenant call me, like they had been like paying $10 less than they were supposed to. And it's not that much. So I hadn't really been bothering them.
Yeah.
And then I gave them a notice because they were behind this month and included these extra charges. They're like, when did rent go up? I can't believe rent went up. I was like, I'm sure I told you, but here, let me check. Oh yeah, let me pull up here. I emailed you the lease where you signed that you said that rent went up to that amount.
Yeah.
Oh, like I just
gotcha.
Emailed
yeah.
you. Like we don't need to argue about this. Like there's your signature.
Right. Yes. Their own signature is hard to deal with or hard
yeah.
to, you know, talk your way out of. So I think that'd be the big thing is like the making sure you have deposit and first month's rent before you hand them the keys and do your little walkthrough together and
yes.
make sure they're feeling good about everything. So
yes.
Because for some reason that was interesting the first time around. So now I'm getting a little bit better and I have a lot more like electronic resources that I can use. So it's a little less, it's a lot more email exchanges versus hey, do you want to meet and chat about this property?
I find it odd, like when you have to sit down and like sign the paper, because you don't want to rush them through signing it because you're standing there. And then like, well, do I explain everything? Well, this is really saying this. This is really saying that. Mm-hmm. When I do move in, I do explain a couple of key things. Like I do explain that they waive their right to notice for eviction. Like you have to pay on time. Otherwise they can file eviction right away. But that's particular to me. So I explain some pretty key things. Like if I wasn't going to replace the refrigerator and the stove, I would say that. Even if it's in the lease, I would say the big things. I would even say about, hey, you're responsible for pest control. You're responsible for your garbage. Like you want to say the big things.
Right.
And you can even have, some people have like a move-in sheet that like reminds them of all the big things, like who to call and that sort of stuff.
Yep.
But
I usually do a move-in sheet with ours just to, and I make a list of your utilities and everything like that and send that over to them. So they get it electronic and a copy when they move in. But Oh, and I was going to say too, while we were talking about like state specific things, late fee structure and what states allow and don't allow for late fees is really state specific.
Yes.
And so when you're doing your lease forms, make sure to check that. Avail does state specific leases. And so does like Bigger Pockets has state specific lease packages you can buy with all your forms. But double check your late fees, because I know Michigan and Indiana do theirs differently and what they like to see. Like they don't like Indiana doesn't like serial late fees. Like every day you incur a charge, they like a one or two time fee. Right. And Michigan's different. And so,
interesting. Yeah.
That was one thing I meant to point out when we were talking about like weird state specific, like landlord laws.
Yeah.
There's usually a lot of regulations around late fees or, you know, returning deposits also is a big thing that there's a lot of regulations
and
around.
And where you keep the deposit.
Yes.
Some states require you to keep it in an interest-bearing account. Mm-hmm. Some just require you to keep it in a different account. Some require you to put it in an escrow account. Like, so it's very important for that. And also on late fees, like when you can charge them, you might think, okay, yeah, it's 10%. But like in Tennessee, yeah, it's 10%, but it's only one time. And if someone pays rent, so let's say someone's a month behind. So they didn't pay in July, but then August 1st, they pay 1 month's rent. Mm-hmm. Well, that means they're not late for August. So you can't charge a late fee. You can't say, well, they were paying for July. It doesn't matter that you said they're paying for July. When did they pay it? They paid it in August. Well, it meant they were paying for August. It doesn't matter even if they tell you, oh, that's for July's rent. It doesn't matter. If they paid it in August, that's when they paid it.
Interesting. Yes. So this is why you read your laws, because that's the late fee structure is weird in different states. So definitely check that out. So awesome. Well, this was super helpful because I wish I would have had this deep dive to kind of go through, because I'm like, it's amateur hour around here all the time. Like I'm like, some people are like analysis paralysis. I feel like I'm just like going for it and I have no idea what I'm doing, but you figure it out. You read, you look online, like thank goodness we're in the internet age and there's really good podcasts.
I hope this helps some people, because we all are kind of just winging it out here, to be honest. We're all getting in over our head and just keep going.
Yep.
But it's good if you can learn some things in advance.
I think once you are around people that are also kind of in the beginning, like a few property phases, and you realize we're all guessing and like someone has knowledge, but it's just because they've had that problem. It doesn't mean that they're like savvier than the other person. It's just, you know, if someone's, you know, HVAC is all frozen, then I have suggestions for you now, but someone else might know different skills than I do, like fixing a toilet handle, for example. So I think the nice thing is our little Instagram community out there, I think is really, really supportive. And so you can always, you know, me and David might suggest you Google things first if you're asking for state-specific laws, but if you have questions or just want some DIY advice or things, you know, there's a whole network of people that are excited to help kind of new investors out there, so.
Yeah, for sure.
And so I think people know where to find, we're mostly on Instagram. Are you hanging out anywhere else? Do you have
I'm really just hanging out on Instagram mostly,
I have a website, but I really don't moderate it or anything. Like I have an email for it and I'm really bad at checking it, so message us. So David's at the DIY_landlord and then I'm at nerdsguide.fi, which you guys hopefully know that from coming to check out the podcast. Any other topics you wanted to hit? I think we kind of really covered from start to end and some new websites and systems people can use, because I think just figuring out what works for you is so important. There was one last thing I was going to say. So I actually did a whole like tutorial little PDF like write-up on how I use Facebook's funnel. So how I use automated messages to do like a Google form then it automatically populates into like a Google Sheets spreadsheet. And so everything's free. And so if you guys want to ever check that out, I do have that on the blog. So that's one of the few things. So finding out that Facebook had this automated messenger response, I'm not quite as savvy as David with his like form on the website for all of his various properties, but I can do a Google form that is property specific. So if you only have a couple of properties, it works really well. So I have like a whole kind of Facebook lead to, you know, process written down because it was really guessing and checking. And once I figured out, I'm like, oh, this is great. It's really easy. Look at all these like names populating in this Excel sheet. So that's something you guys can check out if you're interested in tenant screening too. So
that's really great, Sarah. Yeah.
I mean, that's the first thing I put out there so far. And I'm like, it should be really good. And so hopefully I'll have some more sheets and things because when you're just starting out, there's just so many things you need. So hopefully this will help kind of fill in some pieces and get people websites and resources they can use. So I'm very excited about this podcast to go out there and see if we can help some people. So.
And unfortunately, once again, it's going to be so long. I don't know if anyone's going to get through it.
Yeah, just like I know. The last one. I know. I'm like, a few people will make it to the end. You deserve a gold star. Message me or David and say you made it all the way through all this episode.
Yes,
I might do some additional editing.
If you're hearing this, message me at @DIY_landlord and said, I made it.
Yes, we will make a club of people that have made it through me and David's very long podcast episodes. So, but thank you so much for all your time. I appreciate it. And you have a very busy family and everything. So I always appreciate you taking time to help people out.
It's my pleasure, Sarah.
All right. Well, hopefully you get some rest since you're now the maintenance man and investor. So you're going to sleep well tonight.
Yeah, I need it.
Gosh, did you all just love this episode? I hope you're enjoying each of these podcasts as much as I am. If you are, please go subscribe to the podcast and spread the word by sharing your thoughts on Instagram. If you are not already aware, I'm pretty much obsessed with Instagram, so seriously, come find me. Instagram is the place where I'm going to announce every new podcast episode. I also share new products as I post them into my store. And I also am just going to be oversharing way too much about my personal life as a DIY landlord and a working boss mom. Thanks so much for listening.